Broadcasting from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Everybody looks forward to this one. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com for all the college and NFL information you want. And here's an extra that he's got for everybody. For those who join up, 50% will be sent to help people that are affected by the flood. Flood victims. That's right. LandryFootball.com donating 50% of any of the membership payments to the flood victims. That's at LandryFootball.com. Again, analysis, college and pro football, film room breakdowns, recruiting information, draft analysis and information, Tuesday and Thursday, the Landry Football Podcast on Wednesdays, the new Rush the Field College Football Podcast. All of these must listens. LandryFootball.com for the best season membership package ever. And Chris, you were telling me a couple days ago on the podcast, one of many things you get into is what actually happened and is happening at Florida State. Can you give them the cliff notes?
Yeah, you know, we, of course, on the podcast every Tuesday and Thursday, we try to cover a lot of different topical things. But during the season, with all the game breakdowns and going through all that, we sometimes, you know, we don't want the podcast to go too long. So we did a special podcast, and if you're interested, folks, go to the website. It's free. Just click on the left side and click on Florida State, and you'll see a special LandryFootball.com report. It's an audio post. It's about 25 minutes, and it takes you folks into the background of what's happened at Florida State over the years, from Jimbo's fight with the administration, how that's led to the issues with the economic situations, facilities, and what his vision was for, and how it led to what we saw into the breakup, the divorce last year, and kind of where they are, the whole Willie Taggart and kind of the process of at least my view of what Willie's strengths and weaknesses were and kind of where they are. So we go in through all of that. Here's what I will say in the Cliff Notes version, because, again, it takes a long time. You know, everyone is quick to say, well, it's Jimbo left him in this situation. Well, Jimbo did his part, because there's no doubt that he had one foot out the door at Tallahassee towards College Station last year. But for the people that think this is all Jimbo's fault and it's just this is just a bad roster that can't compete, let me just say that and everyone's focusing on the offensive line, and rightly so. This is a bad offensive line. This offensive line, folks, player for player, is better than Western Michigan's offensive line, who blocked Syracuse's defensive front a lot better than Florida State did. And part of what I talked about is how, you know, Willie is the type that has to recruit players to fit what he does, and he doesn't have a lot of flexibility, not because he's stubborn, because of know-how of doing things other than out of his comfort zone. So my point was, I go into a lot of details about where they are and how there are things you can do to correct it during the season schematically to make your offensive line play better, where you're not struggling to beat Stanford and getting beat handily by Syracuse. So there are things during the season you got to make your players better. During the offseason, you got to get better players. And so I think we go into that, and I think folks will like it.
Couple games that stand out this weekend. Let's go Aggies and Bama. Aggies are about to get another measurement as to where they're at. They're about a four-touchdown underdog here. Alabama is playing outstanding at the moment. Maybe they haven't played anybody, but they're playing outstanding at the moment. Can the Aggies hang in there for half this game?
Half is possible. I think it's going to be a different test than what Alabama had last week against Ole Miss. Different style. I thought they passed the test of, you know, pattern matching and playing coverage against Ole Miss with only having to blitz seven times and being able to rush the passer with four. This game is going to be a little different in terms of what they're going to see offensively. What Jimbo wants to do is run the football and wants to move the pocket with Kellen Mond. So they're going to have to play it schematically a little different. But I just think that they're way too much for A&M. And Bill, I don't know what the score is going to be at half. I mean, if it's a two possession game at halftime, then that's maybe depends upon your definition of staying in it. I think this might be less explosive in terms of Ole Miss scores one touchdown and then Alabama just is, you know, completely dominating after that. This game might be a little different, maybe a little closer for longer, but I expect Alabama to pull away and win decisively again.
Chris is located down there in Baton Rouge. He obviously is a national analyst, but he's down there close. I got to tell you, I'd have lost a lot of money if I'm gambling on picking against LSU so far.
Well, you know, I think here's the thing about it. I thought Auburn, after blowing a 20-point lead last year, would finish the job this year. And I thought in a close game they would beat LSU. Thrilled for LSU. But I'm sitting to me, I guess I'm looking at it a little bit differently than maybe a lot of people are. I think the biggest story is how Auburn 2 years in a row has blown double-digit leads when they had the game kind of going in their way and they couldn't finish. That to me would be concerning. That's when I broke down the tape, that's what just jumped out and spoke clearly to me. I think the thing about LSU is this, because I heard, as you're right, I live down here, so I hear this more than I hear at any other place is, you know, when you go to the store and everything, oh, what's LSU going to be this year? You know, everybody around here thought they were going to be 7-5. Some are 6-2, you know, it's just the sky is falling type. Bill, this LSU team, this talent, is not 7-5. There's only Georgia and Alabama are considerably better. Auburn and LSU are pretty close in talent. LSU's a little bit better overall defensively because their secondary's better. But in this game, where Auburn had some advantages on offense, they didn't take advantage of that. And LSU didn't play a great game on offense, but the difference ultimately was Joe Burrow made clutch plays. Jarrett Stidham didn't. Jarrett probably played an overall, had better plays in the game, but when it mattered most, Joe Burrow did. So I don't know. Here's the thing. It's the same people that thought they were going to go 7-5 now think that they can challenge Alabama. Folks, it's a reactionary society. They got a long way to go. They don't match up well against LSU, that is. They don't match up with Georgia and Alabama. And, you know, let's see what they do against Ole Miss and Mississippi State and Georgia and A&M, all teams that LSU is more talented than. But, you know, my guess is that they are going to end up kind of with the record I thought they would, and that's about 8-4.
Urban Meyer's out of timeout. Now, he's been on the practice field, but now he can be at game. Tulane game's next, and then, of course, they got to go to Happy Valley. Just from a continuity point of view, I mean, is there any concerns there, or does it make this team just explode even bigger? How does that work?
No, I think Urban getting back is going to help in this regard. You know, I think people, you know, I thought Ryan Day and Shiano, those guys on the staff did a really good job. But it is an extra layer of responsibility on game day to have to delegate timeouts, certain decisions that need to be made during the game. And remember, you know, same guy still calling the plays on offense and defense. This is going to streamline things. It also, because Urban is really involved in special teams, it just kind of helps delegate more during the game day situations where he's going to be there. So I think it's only going to be positive. As I watch them, I see Ohio State as supremely talented. I look at them defensively. They miss too many tackles at this point. And I kind of said this week, just looking at a big picture, Alabama and Georgia are the two best teams in the country that I've seen. Then there's a slight line, and then there's Ohio State and Clemson. And the separation between Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State and Clemson is how Alabama and Georgia play with a little better discipline, a little better finish, for play for four quarters. But I think that Ohio State in particular, even more so than Clemson, can match up personnel-wise. Clemson's got some work to do on the offensive line. But to get back to your point on Ohio State, they'll be fine. This will get them a game to get things in order to see what they can do in Happy Valley in a week.
Couple of games up the hatch, we'll let you out the door. Tennessee, Florida on Saturday. Neither team very good, but the fan bases are really interested in the outcome of this game because it's year one and they're standing behind their coaches, obviously. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, to me, it is – I don't like to play this game as more important for because I don't really buy that. But I can tell you this, that I think there's greater expectation this year for Florida than Tennessee. So I think it would be a tough game for Florida to lose. If Tennessee plays well, I think that their fan base could see some optimism with it, although they may not like it. There's still some unknown. I don't think these teams are all that good. I think you're right. I think Florida's better. We'll see if they play better. I expect them to. I just think they've got a lot more at their disposal in which they can play. And I'm just still last week breaking down the tape. Offensive line and quarterback's play is still not real sharp for Florida. But, I like their chances a little bit more, but I'm not crazy about either. And, of course, you and I remember when that was the game in the SEC in the early part of the year because the winner of that game won the East. And it's a far cry from that as everything in the East is going through Georgia. So it's still a big game, and I think it can be a good game again. This could be the East version of a good Auburn-LSU rivalry in the future because it's the starter. It's the early part of the season, but because it's the early part, it doesn't define anything towards the end of the year anymore. So I think it's going to be a good one, but I do like Florida going into it.
I give you one more. TCU, Texas. Texas coming off a nice score against Southern Cal. We don't really know who they beat because Southern Cal doesn't look very good. TCU's well coached, and this has been a tough matchup for Texas.
Well, I think the only issue there is TCU coming off of a big game last week against Ohio State. They're just better than Texas. They're better coached. They're more athletic. They've got more explosive playmakers on both sides of the ball. This to me, is TCU just being a better team. Texas did play better last week against a struggling USC team. I think TCU kind of turns it back around.
Oh, one more. Kentucky hosting Mississippi State. I don't like the mainstream term or phrase under the radar. I'll try and stay away from that. But it's probably not getting the love it's due, right?
No, it's not. And I think it's a really good game. This Mississippi State defense at front, folks, is for real.
Yeah,
and I know
nasty.
You hear a lot of stuff and sometimes it's hype. This team's really good up front. And this is the best offensive line that Mark Stoops has had at Kentucky. I just think Mississippi State's just more talented. Terry Wilson's playing well. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I just think Mississippi State's a little better. We can see what Nick Fitzgerald can do in terms of improving their ability in the passing game, but I think they're able to get this done. I think they're the more talented of the – I know they're the more talented of the two, and I think they'll play better in this game, and I like them.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Appreciate you, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it, buddy.
There he is, Chris Landry. We could go through a million games with him. Outstanding. Dave Biddle coming up, top of hour three, his site, Buck Nuts. He owns that topic. Jackaroot coming up, bottom of hour number three. 888-702-5494 if you want to dial us up today. 888-702-5494, Twitter @BillisKing. We're brought to you by, as we go to the break, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Happy to report no major accidents as you make your way to work this morning. However, we are starting to see quite a bit of congestion on Vietnam Vets traveling out of Hendersonville, things below 50 miles per hour. Also going to see quite a few brake lights at the 6524 merger. Traveling on 40 out of Wilson County around the airport, you're going to see slower traffic as well as at the 2440 merger. 24 coming out of Rutherford County and Smyrna, it's going to drop below 70 miles per hour and stay that way all the way into the Music City. Worried about an attack in the parking lot or maybe just afraid of a bully? Call the Academy of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, 945-6501. John Boyce on Time Traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family and friends, even coworkers? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers entertainment for all ages? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment with five centers in Middle Tennessee is just the place. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Visit them online at strikeandsparebowling.com. Also on Facebook and Twitter, or see him in Hendersonville, Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
I'm Dan Piotrowski, General Manager of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlets to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the Biscuit Bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant, or our upscale Honky Tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner with that someone special, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
Are you going to vote in the election?
No, I've never registered to vote.
That's too bad. Tennessee has the lowest voter turnout of any state in the nation. We've got to change that.
How?
Get registered to vote. Get the form online and mail it in. It's that easy. Do it now so you can help elect our next governor, senator, and local leaders.
Register to vote today. Tennessee should not be last in the nation in voter turnout. This announcement is from the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this Tennessee station.
The Braves are the most exciting team in the National League, and the race for the postseason is officially on.
First pitch to Freeman, hit high and deep to right field, and it is gone. We're tied.
Catch all the action as the Braves run to the postseason right here on your Middle Tennessee home for Atlanta Braves baseball, Nashville Sports Radio. You a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
We'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster tomorrow, downtown Nashville, downtown 615. If you're in the area, come on by, no matter where you're from. Lots of you folks either come into this area or have business here. Those Fridays when we're on the road is the time to come by and hang out, if you are so inclined. We'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster Friday morning doing the show. 7 until 9 because they don't open the doors till around 7-ish. Crazy Charlie will have hour number one. So check him out tomorrow morning too. Kane's warning on Twitter. Be a Hurricane fan, Miami fan on Twitter. Says, Bill, the same with Florida State and Florida. That refers to, in case you're just catching up to the show, I brought up on Twitter earlier, how long will it take before the Tennessee-Florida game becomes nationally relevant again? Both teams doing their part. Circa 1990s. And we've had various people. Some say never. Some say 5 years. Some say it's it's a dream. Georgia's got it now for the foreseeable future. We've had all kinds. Some people say 2 years. Had all kinds of answers to that. Kane's warning says same about Florida, Florida State, though. Well, yeah, now they're not playing this weekend, so that's one reason that hadn't come up. But if we want to take the conversation to those teams, right now it looks, again, we're talking about as a pair now. It doesn't look like that game's going to be relevant anytime soon. Circa 1990s. There we go again, everybody. Circa 1990s. That game has not been relatively relevant, let's say that, in a long time. Not nationally. Not where it meant something. It probably goes without saying that to get to a situation like the 90s, between 93 and 99 in particular, but we could stretch it out wider than that if we wanted, it's going to be hard to get it back to that point. And got to remember, in 96, when Florida won the Natty, they played Florida State twice. That scenario doesn't even appear in our vision right now, correct? It's hard for any of us, me and you, even the ultimate Pollyanna, to get to that moment in your fantasy world. It is. I'm talking about pairing teams together now, not one or the other. It's not to say the Gators won't get back or eventually Florida State's going to work things out. It's not. That's not where we're going here. But it's the game. Nick says, Bill, I have enjoyed Karen's comments. Sorry the Noles are so angry. Sorry, and Karen is so bitter. Karen told me, KKL, full disclosure here, pretty much all summer long, this Florida State thing's going to be a disaster. She says, I wish this wasn't the case. That's my first favorite school. That's where I went. I've spent a million hours there. I've donated there. I have an emotional and financial investment there. But this is not going to work. It's not going to turn out well. Now, and she would explain to me various reasons for this, and I would listen. And she had me concerned for Florida State. I thought it was very well thought out and pragmatic. And it turns out she's right. Turns out she will even admit that it's worse than perhaps she thought. And that's where we're at. She was way out in front. I don't care. Some of you don't like her. That's fine. You're not required to like anybody. It's not a rule here. Love who you love, hate who you hate. But she was dead on here, whether you like her or not. She was immeasurably right. On an island where almost every Seminole told her she's crazy. She's just doing that because Jimbo's not there. She's just saying that because Jimbo's gone. Now she's moved to Texas. No, I think she meant it. She does like Jimbo. She admits that too. Absolutely. She does like the Aggies now. Previously had no investment in the Aggies at all. She likes them now. She admits that. But one person told me from the beginning, this will not work well. It will not go well. Now, I thought probably she was overreacting a little bit. Maybe they'll go like 8-3 and that won't be 8-4. And that'll be kind of disappointing, but it's okay because it's year one and et cetera. But no, she never even said that. She said, this is going to be a rough go. It's not a good thing right now. Jim down in West Palm. Bill, did a Kane fan just talk about relevance? I mean, when was the last time the Canes were relevant? Last year until game 11 or game 12, till the Pitt game. They were relevant until the Pitt game. They peaked at the Notre Dame game, but consistently relevant early 2000s, long time. They flirted with it last year. They did. They flirted with it and, frankly, maintained it for a while. but fell off the flat earth beginning, I think, right after the Notre Dame game. It's certainly the Pitt game. Last regular season game lost. Got crunched by Clemson in the ACC title game. Lost to Wisconsin in the bowl game. Got crunched by LSU. It's been a pretty rough go of it since the Notre Dame game, where I thought they played really well, and I thought they peaked there. I've Been Good has a name. Bill King's Pickalapse. I don't even know if I can pronounce this. P-I-C-K-O-C-A-L-Y-P-S-E. Picka Collapse. Is that right? Omni 2018. Signed, Ben. Ben, I think you're just doing that because it's so hard to say that it would cause awkwardness. I think that's what you've done to us right here. Bill King's Picka Collapse or Picka Calypse, Omni 18. Something that goes with OmniFest 2018. Something like that. Bill King and CC's signing day OmniFest 2018. Does that cover everything? Does that get everything? And then Charlie's got to come out. You know, have you seen that picture of Charlie and he's kind of got that clown suit on and he's drinking that big bottle of Jack, or he's making like he is? And he has to come out dressed like that too on stage. That gets everything started. That might work. Randy says, Bill, is it too early to start talking about a replacement for the head coach at Florida State? I was thinking Butch Davis or Lane Kiffin. What are your thoughts? Well, I'll tell you who I want, because I'm always angling for the show. If there's ever a bias, it's about show, and it's about show content, and it's about things that you and I on this show can have fun with. That's the whole revolving planet that we live on, you and me. So Lane Kiffin's my guy. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think they'd hire him. I don't think Willie's going anywhere anytime soon. They're $20-something million dollars invested in him in future monies. And they're not in position to be paying people off. That's not happening. They're stuck there. So if the Willie Taggart thing continues to spiral out of control and look the way it's looking, the sad thing about it, if you're Seminole, is you're stuck here. Now, I don't know that you're stuck forever. Maybe year two at the end, if it's still looking bad, they just bite the bullet and somehow scrape up the money and get on with it. That's a lot for Florida State. So we'll see. But just from an angle, I'd love it if it's Kiffin, because, again, Kiffin is good radio. And got to remember, that's the Cosby Cattleman's guy. That means the Cosby Cattleman becomes a fan of the Seminoles. You Seminoles now would have adopted the Cosby Cattleman because of Lane Kiffin. I don't know how you'd feel about that either. Ben says you pronounce it Pick Apocalypse, but you add them together. I hear you. I tell you what, we need to get a break. And then you said Rob's on hold. Is that right, Charlie? Okay. Let's get the bottom of the hour. Brought to you by, I think you know, the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Happy to report no major accidents at this time, but we are starting to see quite a few brake lights. Slow traffic around 840, as well as the airport coming out of Wilson County on 40 is giving us almost an hour commute due to slower traffic on Vietnam Vets, 47 minutes from Hendersonville. Our typical congestion coming out of Rutherford County gives us an hour and 11-minute commute. Traveling up 65 from Franklin's going to be a 42-minute drive and about 26 minutes from Bellevue. Charcoal Cowboys Barbecue is now open on Nolensville Pike in Lenox Village. CharcoalCowboysBarbecue.com. I'm John Boyce with On Time Traffic.
The debate about sports specialization by high school athletes continues. Some argue that high school athletes who play one sport all year long have a better chance of landing a lucrative pro contract. But that's simply not true. In fact, 30 of the 32 first-round picks in last year's NFL draft played more than one sport in high school. Of the 32 players drafted, 22 also participated in high school track and field. 19 also played basketball. Some also played baseball and lacrosse. What's the path to success for high school athletes here in Tennessee, no matter what their goals might be? Study hard. Always do your best. And if you can, play more than one sport in high school. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
WNSR weather.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunny this morning and hot, a high of 95. Mostly clear this evening, low 74. Friday, sunshine, chance of a storm, a high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network. On Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR. He
knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
We'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster tomorrow doing the show. Charlie's got 6 to 7. I'll have 7 to 9 right there in downtown Nashville, the Southern. Fantastic place to get a meal. Doesn't matter what time of day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Doesn't matter day or night. Fantastic place. Rob in the 210, I believe. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, Bill?
I am good, sir. What's up? Hey, how you doing?
Nothing much. I needed a call today. I know you asked me a question yesterday on air, and I couldn't call in to answer it, concerned about whatever my biggest parlay was. I've had a few, you know, over 1,000, had one over two, and that one was by accident. I tried to place a $5 bet on, I can't remember what combination of teams, but the ticket taker there ended up putting it down for 50. And she was about to void it. I said, no, let's go ahead and let it ride and take a chance on it. That's why it hit for 2,000. But
wow.
I don't remember too many of the ones that have hit. I can tell you the one that did it, and it was a five-team parlay. It would have been a pizza money bet, would have been a $5 bet. It would have netted over $120, but it was round robin by twos, which is an additional 10 bets. It was round robin by threes, which is another 10 bets. So all in all, the actual bet, the parlay plus the round robins, was $105. It would have netted me over $800 if it had hit. Unfortunately, one of those teams didn't. So I still collected, I want to say close to $300, about $280, $290 on the four teams that were round robin by twos and threes. And that losing team, I'll always remember it, is Missouri. So misery at its best, Missouri. I don't bet on them ever again.
Oh, man. So how many parlays will you play on an average football weekend?
On a weekend, It depends. I may just play, like, you know, five different parlays, hoping one of them hits, and then I'll probably play another five teasers.
Wow. And
again, I just, you know, got to throw it out there to everybody. Please don't, you know, don't throw your mortgage payment on this. For me, it's always just discretionary income. I have a bankroll. That's what I play with. It's my play money. I do this instead of riding my motorcycle faster than I used to. So this is just me. You know, don't, you know, if your kids need shoes, buy your kids shoes. Damn it. You know, take them to McDonald's and whatever you need to do, take care of your kids. Don't risk your mortgage payment on it. Now, it's strictly pizza money that I throw at some of these. You know, occasionally if I feel pretty good about it, you know, that's what I'll do. But, you know, my unit size is always the same. You know, one unit, you know, I throw a buck on every single bet. You know, if it's a single straight bet, it's just a buck, which is $100. And then for the parlays, it's just, you know, pizza money, anywhere from $5 to $10, maybe $20, depending if I feel good about it.
See, I played one in my mind last week, and it involved underdogs. I think I had three of the four. The loser, though, was I had Colorado State plus the points, which would have been a loser.
Wow.
So I wouldn't have won, but which is typical. So if you play five parlays a weekend, what are the percentages of hitting one of them?
One or two. Last week, I actually hit on the money line. I took Syracuse, North Texas, and UAB. So those hit, and of course I round robin by two to make sure. Okay, one of them loses, I'm still going to get something back.
Right.
And those were good bets for me. And at the last minute, I took Texas Tech and the Pokes, Oklahoma State. And the reason I did that is because the line switched. The early on, Texas Tech was a favorite by three. I think Houston was plus three on the road. You know, I grabbed that at first, Houston plus three, and then when I saw that it had reversed. There was reverse line movement. All of a sudden, Texas Tech was a dog at home, plus one or plus two. I said, no, I'm going to switch over, and I'm just going to take them on the money line. Same thing happened with Oklahoma State. That Boise State money flooded the other side, and there was a reverse line movement. So when Oklahoma State became the dog at home, I think it was even money for them to win at home. So if you pair that with Texas Tech, which at the time was plus 175 on the money line to win at home, I thought, okay, you know, I'll take a chance on it. So I took them both on the money line as a parlay. I also teased both of them plus 6 points, just as a, you know, a little insurance in thrown in there, and they both hit. So that was a great one.
Nice. Rob is, as far as I know, the king of parlays. He is. He's you've had years to think these things out, and it sounds like you've got it down to a science.
Again, I got to thank Brad Powers. You know, getting his newsletter has made me a better. I bet the games, I played the games, but I've learned so much, just not just from listening to him on Bill is King, but also just reading the newsletter, reading what he's writing down, getting some insight. You know, and I go out there and get some other information as well, just to make sure I'm covering all my bases. I want to learn as much as I can about it. And again, it's just, you know, discretionary income. It's just pizza money that I throw at and I hope it sticks. And fortunate enough, they do, you know, for me from time to time. So, but, you know, yeah, I agree with Brad as far as it's not something that's going to, you know, it's not something that's advised, you know. It's not for the weak at heart, that's for sure. But yeah, my straight bets are, you know, at a buck each. But, you know, when I'm doing a parlay, you know, I'm going to throw some pizza money in and see what hits.
So there's a chance you're coming in December, right?
Yes, sir. Currently, you know, I had already had I already had my vacation planned to drive out to Hampton, VA to visit with my daughters, and I thought, well, if I can squeeze in another week at work, you know, take some time off from there, maybe I can swing by and stop by and visit with the King and Crazy Charlie over at the Omni.
Hope so, buddy. Hope so,
yeah,
man.
I gotta go because I gotta eat those biscuits, you know. Maybe while I'm there, I'll have Southeastern Termite and Pest Control, spray my vehicle or something.
We'll do that. We'll put that one on the house for you. And remember now, that's Wednesday when we're doing the show 6 to 11, and we'll have you on air, too, hanging out with us with everybody else. Todd is on the house going to have a beautiful breakfast buffet for everybody.
Yeah, that's great of Todd to be able to bring everybody in there all in one spot, one location. You know, you got everything there. It's awesome. I think it's going to be a great experience. It's going to be a great shindig. And then it's just going to expand from that. You know, this is just the first annual one. So, you know, we'll work on it and see what we can do to make the following year even better, bigger and better.
Be good, buddy. Thank you, Rob.
All right, take care. Yes, sir.
There he is. Rob in the 210. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. He is a very nimble, smart, pragmatic, better. I check him out all the time. All the time. To see what he's doing. And again, I think he's reasonable. He's not sitting here saying he's hitting everything he does. He explains how he puts it out there, how he allocates it all. Just saying. Gator Brandon says, Bill, the Canes have Mark Richt. Therefore, the Canes are going to Richt. Consistently underachieve. Brown man who called the Omni yesterday to get the rate, and they don't have it at the front desk yet. Todd's working on it. He said in the next couple of weeks he's going to get that finalized, and then I'll let you guys. Anyways, Brown man, I appreciate checking in. I will let you know when we get that solidified. He goes on to say Art Briles or Hugh Freeze for the Florida State coach. Well, and I know you're being funny there. Hugh Freeze with his hands on the Florida State job. Considering how he recruited to Ole Miss, now got in trouble for that too. But if he can do that at Ole Miss, what could he do with the brand that is Florida State recruiting? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Caleb says, anybody who says Florida's going to get there faster than Tennessee clearly does not know what they're talking about. Josh Manning, how about Bill's Bagman Spectacular? He says we could even set up a remote with some extra Ole Miss fans from NCAA Supermax Prison. God. Oh. KKL, who goes by the name now Tua is Soft, says Derek Mason about Brian Kelly's accusations that Vandy plays dirty. He can take his comments and keep moving. If he's got something personal with me, he can come see me. Yeah, that made the rounds yesterday. I think Derek Mason and Vanderbilt fans like him. But I think they like him even more after that, saying basically, come get you some if you need some, Brian Kelly. Yeah, Vandy, in lieu of not getting anything ever done about their stadium, that made them happy right there. They liked that. And South Carolina is coming to town. Yeah, South Carolina is coming to the 615, everybody. And they're favored by about 2.5, something like that. Gamecocks coming to the 615. They travel well, too. Typically, they do. I don't know if there's a bit of a buzzkill considering how the Georgia game went, but it's still a very supportive fan base. South Carolina fans are very supportive, very passionate. Dave Biddle coming up in a couple of minutes, top of the hour. Can't wait for that one. Dave Biddle, BuckNuts.com. Buckeyes get Cincinnati. I don't know how much we'll talk about that. Or excuse me, they get Tulane. Sorry. I don't know. Hope we don't talk about them playing Cincinnati when that's not the game. Tulane. And then after that, it's Penn State. Yeah. Get the schedule right, Bill. Coming right back. One more break. Hour number two. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Slow traffic on Vietnam Vets in Hendersonville as well as the 65-24 merger results in a 42-minute commute from Hendersonville. In the Lebanon area, slow traffic around 840 and the airport as well as at the 24-40 merger, giving us almost an hour commute from Lebanon. Our typical congestion coming out of Murfreesboro gives us an hour and 8-minute drive from there. If you're taking 65 through Brentwood and Franklin, it's going to take you about 46 minutes. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. That's right, they were here before everybody else. Lunch or dinner, make it Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. John Boyce on time traffic.
Hey there, I'm a glue stick, so I have one job. I glue kids' stuff. So sorry for being jealous of Geico, who does a ton more, like give you 24/7 access to thousands of licensed agents. And Geico has been around for over 75 years and has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. While I've just got mediocre adhesive skills, Geico also has an award-winning mobile app. Uh-oh, arts and crafts time. No eating the glue stick. Miss Lydia!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Napa know-how.
Peak Long Life Antifreeze is just $8.99 plus a $5 mail-in rebate. It keeps your engine the right temperature, no matter how hot or cold it gets, so you can be ready for whatever crazy cold, crazy hot, or crazy whatever weather fall has in store. That's Peak Antifreeze. Just $8.99 plus $5 rebate. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 9/30/18.
You know David Price as an all-star pitcher for the Red Sox, but you may not know that David Price has teamed with Dr. Smithson to deliver non-surgical orthopedic care at his clinic in Murfreesboro and Cool Springs. Dr. Smithson is a board-certified sports medicine physician and former team doctor for Auburn University. If you're looking for a second opinion for your knee or hip replacement, contact the David Price Center at 615-678-0014 or visit davidpricecenter.com.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show.
Can these sick people be cured?
Yeah, you all right? I'm going to knock that chest off.
Doesn't anyone do any work around this joint anymore?
Weekday mornings at 9.
I have you guys on every morning to wake up to.
I got
to
tell you, nobody loves you more than I do.
You guys are way too cocky.
Makes a cut off and running.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. The old BCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
Tell the Cattleman, just give me a minute. I'll address something on Twitter, and then we'll get right to him. Cosby Cattleman, just 60 seconds out. Randy says, Bill, I hear the term Johnny Five Star. You use it a bit. He says, where did it come from? I would like to sit here. Now, if I wanted to be a host liar guy, I would tell you that I invented it. Because there are things that I did invent that have become mainstream, but that's not one of them. I can't claim that one. I heard it. Now, I think I've taken it and made it a thing because I use it a lot. But first time I heard it, I do believe, was when Sam Bradford was just getting started at Oklahoma. He was a three-star. And he was putting up big numbers and exceeding everybody's, at least outwardly looking in, expectations. Putting up spectacular numbers and incredibly accurate. And I remember Stoops, and of course Bob Stoops gets a little burr under his saddle from time to time, says, we don't pay attention to the rankings and this and that. We'll just take our little old three-star and go to work. We'll be okay with our little old three-star. Then it was one of the assistants, and I swear I think it's Venables, Brent Venables. Now, Brent Venables is a defensive guy. So I'm not sure who to attribute this to. I thought it was Venables, but I remember the quote saying, we don't necessarily like going after and getting Johnny Five Star. That's the first time I heard that quote. About 10, 12 years ago. And because they want to be pampered and they're spoiled and they don't understand that hard work is just now getting started and all that. That's the first time I heard that. It involved that topic. I might not be giving the coach. I don't think it was actually Bob Stoops signaling me with the Johnny Five Star thing. It was another coach there. And if it wasn't Venables, I don't remember. It might have been, you know what? It might have been Kevin Wilson. Just saying. Might be. Let me get the Cosby Cattleman in here. What's up, sir?
What's your Mr. King?
Yes, sir. What's up?
Hey, Bill, I thought I'd give you a little more color on this Florida-Tennessee
ball game coming up, a couple of old memories, but I wanted to start off with a weird curveball to you and say something about Saban that you get all the time.
Okay.
Been out there looking at Saban's first year at LSU, 2000. Lost to UAB.
Lost to Watson Brown. He lost to Watson Brown.
Lost to UAB year one.
Yeah.
You know what happened the next week?
He played the Vols, right?
He beat old Fat Fulmer in overtime.
Correct.
Old Fat Fulmer, the gift that keeps on giving, launching all these first-year coaches. And that's where I'm going with this, Bill. We got Jeremy Pruitt, new era, all the trash from Foley and Butch, the end of the Fulmer era, the Kiffin blip.
Yeah.
All that's in the storybooks. Here it is Jeremy Pruitt going to be the flop from Mike Dumbo's, or is he going to be Gene Stallings?
What do you think?
From what I see, I think he's going to be a lot closer to Gene Stallings. I think this guy's a really good football coach, Bill, but the thing I worry about is does Georgia just have too much of a flying head start on the guy? I mean, Tennessee fans have been through this crap for 20 years, 20 years since the last SEC title. I just don't know how – I mean, he'd go 8-4, 9-3, be doing a hell of a job. You know, I just don't know how Tennessee fans are going to swallow that 3 years from now.
Well, Tennessee gets Alabama and Georgia every year, forever, right? So
Here's
the deal. What if he can get them to the point where they're either 10-2, 9-3, maybe a loss to Florida here or there, maybe 50% of the time, but they beat everybody else on the schedule? Would that be acceptable?
Well, you know, Bill, I think Tennessee fans – you guys hit Atlanta, don't you? I mean, everybody else does.
Yep.
I mean, it's unfair. You just brought it up. Tennessee plays Alabama every year. Nobody else in the conference does. That's unfair, but, you know, at some point Saban will retire, you'd think. But I just tell you what, man, it's old Fatso Pat Dooley. I was reading his column today. You might want to check it out during a commercial, Bill, talking about how far the rivalry's fallen.
Yep.
And it really is. I mean, I saw the glory days, and I'm going to give you a glory day memory on the way out the door, but I think this is just two tomato cans. This is just fodder for Georgia. Does anybody think Tennessee or Florida has a shot at winning the East? I'd say probably the second place in the East, probably between Missouri and USC, wouldn't you think? Maybe even Kentucky.
So Florida and Tennessee, just a couple of rotting old has-been tomato cans going at it, right?
Year one, Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe. Year one at Alabama. You hire a couple of bad coaches. Tennessee and Florida have both done it. We talked about Dooley and Butch. They had McElwain and Muschamp, didn't they? They've had two bad ones in a row, too. The best of schools, Bill, can hire bad football coaches. Miami's done it. Notre Dame's done it. Notre Dame's hired three or four bad coaches in a row, hadn't they? Depending on what you think about Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, your guy Derek Mason called Kelly out. Did you see that?
Yeah, you know, Bill, I don't watch a line of highlights, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're playing dirty cut blocks. That sounds like something they do. You know, that's just you think when you get right down to it, Bill, is that dirty cut blocking or is Kelly whining?
I thought you were bringing up a potty mouth Kevin Stallings there for a second. That's what I thought you were doing.
I mean, I can see them doing that dirty cut block. And do you think it's dirty cut blocking, or do you think Brian Kelly's whining?
I saw the highlights. I saw the extracted cut-up highlights of – and it was mainly the tight ends that were leading out. They were coming across in motion, and then I believe it was the defensive end cutting them. That's a bit dirty.
Georgia ruined the Shy Tuttle's career. He's never been the same since. Like Georgia cut block him.
I know.
Hey, Bill, last time on the way out the door, the media moans and groans about the media has to ride down the elevator at Neyland Stadium with the Fat Cat Boosters.
Correct.
I'll give you the short version of the story. I was coming down the elevator in 98 after Tennessee got it done in overtime, the missed field goal. Pandemonium reigns, as John Ward said.
Yeah.
I'm riding down the fourth level of the skybox, the champagne level. I'm the only person on the elevator. Guess who's on the elevator with me? And about 20 happy Tennessee fans.
Pat Dooley.
Well, that'd be even better if it was. Old Jeremy Foley was on the elevator with us.
Oh, he had a big scowl.
I'm on the elevator with about 19 drunk Tennessee happy drunk Tennessee fans in Foley, and everybody's raising hell. And, you know, so I couldn't help but I figured this is my one time to do it. I said, folks, you can't spell the Florida Citrus Bowl without the U and the F.
What did Foley?
They just were going crazy. He didn't say a damn word. He didn't turn around or anything. Everybody in there, I know it was classic. But I wish I had video of it. Hang in there.
All right, bye. Mister, we don't need facilities upgrades. Jeremy Foley. In denial for decades on that. Jeremy Foley. That guy. Correct. We've got Mr. Dave Biddle, Buck Nuts. If you're a Buckeye or if you're a college football fan and you want to hear somebody who really knows the topic, you're getting him. Dave Biddle coming up. Buck Nuts is his site. Bottom of that third hour, Jack Arute. Jack Arute. From ABC fame, from Sirius XM fame, from Motorsports fame. He's still doing that. Jack Arute coming up in about 30-plus minutes. Omni.